This is America Weekend. I'm Mike Bennett. Our special guest in this segment is comedy legend Bob Newhart.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm terrific. It's so good to talk to you again. It's been years.
When was the last time?
I said if you don't show up for your show, I know your routines well enough. I'll fill in. And I grew up listening to your comedy albums every day after school. In fact, some days I didn't even go to school. I just stayed at home and listened to you.
Oh, my God. And I'm responsible for that.
Yeah, well, see, I could have gone so much further with my life.
So where'd you get? You got through grammar school, or did you go on from there?
Hey, listen, don't knock seventh grade.
Mike Tyson went to seventh grade, and look what happened to him.
I know that you love performing. Well, I'm assuming you love performing. You've been doing it for 55 years, right?
Yeah, I can't imagine, you know, I just can't imagine not doing it, you know? I mean, if you think of, you get an idea, you know, for a routine, what you're going to tell it to the dog, you know, because he just kind of stares at you like, you know, when do I get my bone? You know, he couldn't care less.
Now, is this new material or classic Bob Newhart stuff, the kind of stuff I listened to growing up, or what is it exactly?
Well, it's not, and then I wrote kind of show. I'll do one or two of maybe the ones you're talking about, the routines, you know, driving instructor, Sir Walter Raleigh, King Kong, you know, one of those. And the rest is just an observation on life and how crazy this planet is that we all inhabit. And if you want to get through it, you're going to have to laugh, you know.
The show itself is how long about? About an hour or so?
My part of it?
Yeah.
An hour and 15, something like that. I'm 85, so around an hour, I start to fade, you know.
85? What a great thing to be able to perform comedy at 85.
Yeah. No, really, I would miss it. I have to have something on the horizon, you know, and as long as I'm physically able to do it, you know, I'll keep doing it, you know.
Physically, how are you at 85? Because, you know, most of us aren't there yet. Can you give us an advanced scouting report on what it's like?
Well, the parents help a lot, you know. And that's about it, really. No, you know, if you take care of yourself, and my dad died at 85, but luckily my mother passed away at 93, so I guess I got some of her genes.
Yeah, I guess so. Now, do you work out?
I still make sense. I would say 75% of the time. So, you know, why not still perform?
I remember talking to Carol Burnett recently. She also came to Westchester County in her 80s, and she was telling me, I have to go now. I have to do Pilates. Are you into that?
No. I thought he was a guy that turned in Jesus.
Punches Pilates?
Yeah, something like that. Pilot, I'm sorry.
Oh, Punches Pilot, there you go.
Punches Pilot, I get the two of them confused.
Yeah. So are you sitting?
No, I don't know. I'm on the stationary bike. I do 40 minutes, I don't know, 5-6 times a week.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah. I know. I feel good. I got a little sciatica, and that's about it.
When you appeared the first time on The Big Bang Theory as Professor Proton, I came in the next morning, and on the radio, I proclaimed Bob Newhart is going to win an Emmy for what he did last night on The Big Bang Theory. And sure enough, you did win an Emmy, and it was so funny. I mean, do you enjoy those little appearances on Big Bang?
You know why I did it? Chuck Lorre is a good friend of mine. I see him all the time, and he's been after me to do one of his shows. And I was never a big fan of Two and a Half Men, so I kind of, you know, ducked it. And but he came to me and he said, I'm here for my annual turndown. And I said, actually, Chuck, I said, I liked the Big Bang Theory. I liked the writing on it, and I liked the people. And it's a chance, you know, I still got, well, I always call it, I still got my fastball, but it's around a 35-mile-an-hour fastball, so. I love performing. You know, what am I going to say?
That must have been like a classic comedy class for those, the ensemble cast.
It was really well written. It really was, you know, that's a secret, too. I did, you know, 14 years between the Bob Newhart Show and Newhart, and It comes down to the writing. You can have the greatest cast in the world, and they do add to it. But if you don't have the words on the paper, it isn't going to work. You know, and they have great writing, and what they're in, I guess they're eighth. I think it's the eighth year now, and they're still as enthusiastic and gung ho as they were when they first started.
The cast really must have gotten a kick out of having you around because of your impeccable timing, and they had to kind of wait to make sure that you got your line out, right? Because you have a different timing mechanism than most comics.
Oh, you're right. Yes, you're right. I went to Chuck, as a matter of fact, and I said, you know, Chuck, am I slowing things down? Because the timing is so different now. It's bang, 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 you know, and mine was kind of bang, 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 you know. But it seemed to work. And I must say, Kaylee, she was wonderful on the show because, you know, she played dumb really well, and she's very bright. And they all were wonderful. They couldn't have been nicer, you know.
Well, I hope there's another Big Bang Theory appearance in the future, but who knows what the future holds, right?
Yeah, I'm doing a thing. You know, it's the last season for Hot in Cleveland, and they came to me, and I've known Betty White for years and years and years, going back to the Mary Tyler Moore Show, and even beyond that. I did the Parr Show, the Jack Parr Show, in 1960, I just made the record album, and he had me on as a guest, and he said, here's a new young comic from Chicago, and he's very nice, and I hope he stays as nice as he is, and Betty was a guest on that show. I mean, that's how far back she goes, you know? I mean, and she said they just sat there, and they watched, and Betty said, he's going to be around for a while, you know?
Well, that certainly turned out to be true, and of course, she's been around for a while, so you're going to be on Hot in Cleveland. That's great.
Yeah, the final episode.
And who do you play on that? Betty White's long-lost love or something?
Well, I don't want to tip it off.
But, okay.
They kind of tie up all the loose ends over the years into one episode. Actually, it's two episodes. It's an hour-long show, and normally it's a half hour. The girls were nice. You know, they're pros. Valerie and, you know, they were just, I've been very lucky. I've worked with great casts, you know, going back to Suzanne and Billy and Peter and Jack Riley and Tom Poston and Mary and of course Larry, Daryl, and Cheryl. I've been very lucky. I've had a really charmed life.
Well, you know, a lot of us think we have a charmed life, and then we look at your career, 55 years of making people laugh, starting with a little guy myself listening to your comedy albums till I wore out the vinyl, and memorizing, like, every bit, you know, the screen door in the submarine, and, you know, my door is always open, I'd like that back, you know, I mean... Oh, my God. I so tuned in to your sensibilities. I think it gave me a personality to be on the radio and to, you know, do public appearances and things. Not that I'm doing Bob Newhart, but just the sensibility of what's funny and how to react to things and timing a little bit. But so.
Well, you know, I saw, Mike, I was very much influenced by Bob and Ray in radio. I just thought they were the greatest. And if I had been a comedy writer for Bob and Ray, that would have been it. I wouldn't have wanted any more out of life than that. And then I saw George Gobel, and I realized, well, okay, you don't have to black out your teeth and walk on your ankles in a dress, you know. There are other forms of humor. So George was an inspiration, too.
Oh, the whole world's a tuxedo, and I feel like a pair of brown shoes. Yeah,
exactly,
the classic line.
Exactly, yeah. But, you know, people come up to me, and the nicest part of it at my age now, you're part of people's lives, you know. I mean, if you make movies, you play one character in that movie, and then the next one you play a totally different one. But people will come up and they'll say thank you for all the laughter, and I always say that, you know, it's my pleasure, and it was. I mean, I enjoy it, and you enjoy being part of people's lives. You know, when they say, yeah, gee, my dad and I, we used to watch the Bob Newhart show, and I'd watch my dad laugh. And that's just a great feeling, you know.
Absolutely. And I love the title of your book, I Shouldn't Even Be Doing This. Currently out in paperback. I have a book of my own. In fact, I'll try to get to the show, and if you'd accept it, I'd love to give you a copy. It's called...
Terrific. I love it, Mike. Yeah.
Don't Pay the Ransom, I've Escaped. That's the name of my book.
All right.
If I write a new chapter, it's all going to be about talking to Bob Newhart for 10 minutes and then taking out the pauses and having 3 minutes of good stuff left. And all the best, Bob. Thanks for a couple of minutes.
Thank you, Mike. I'm looking forward to it.
With Bob Newhart, I'm Mike Bennett. You're listening to America Weekend on the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Big success in a minute with George and Mary Lynn.
How can you be happier at work? Manage your boss.
So says Marie McIntyre in her book, Secrets to Winning at Office Politics. How can you manage your boss?
Learn what they like and expect. Determine how he or she prefers you get your work done and how you should deliver information to them.
If you're unclear about their expectations, don't guess. Ask them about the results they're looking for.
Don't worry that your boss will be upset about you asking for specific details.
In fact, you'll likely find it's quite the opposite. Marie notes that any reasonable manager will be pleased and surprised by your interest.
So manage your boss by giving them exactly what they want. It leads to big success.
Find big success at BIGGSuccess.com.
The Movie Man 6-second DVD review starts now.
A timely, important biopic in one of the best movies of the year. If you have a dream, march to see Selma. I mean,
6-second reviews are brought to you by Marvel's Avengers Age of Ultron, now playing in theaters.
Think green.
Harrison with you. A recent Washington Post report cites some uneasy news that sea levels could rise faster along America's East Coast than in any other densely populated part of the world. The new research shows changing ice caps and ocean currents pushing water toward our eastern shorelines. The new studies show the Atlantic seaboard might get 17 to 25 inches or more of water in the next 50 years for a total increase that would submerge a beach chair. That's might. All the predictions come from computer models, which could be wrong. And the Mid-Atlantic region's ample high ground means it'll probably never be as vulnerable as Louisiana and Florida. In the 20th century alone, though, global seas rose about 0.7 inches a year, showing that it doesn't matter who's causing global warming, sea level rise is something we can definitely measure. From the Greeniverse.
Think green with Harrison at GoHarrison.com.